case is April 28th. Question and answer.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it is question and answer tonight, but let's back up a moment. Look at what we're learning this month. This month was learning to be bigger, learning to be better, and using this teaching to do that. And one of the things that we discussed was this whole idea, I gave you a paper on it, of reaction and responding to something, and learning how to respond to something instead of just reacting. Because the two things that we all do is we automatically react to something, and we automatically take in secondhand information. And when we automatically react to something, and we automatically take in secondhand information, we are not being ourselves. We are not using our own mind. The whole idea of religious science is to teach you how to think, not what to think. Religious science will never teach you what to think. It will teach you how to think. So I also want to bring up the idea again of this thing that we call religious science, or we call science of mind, which Ernest Holmes put together. What he did is he compiled the truth in a book called The Science of Mind. He took a thread of truth and looked through all the great religions, all philosophies and so forth, and then he compiled it into a book. And we call it religious science, and we use the word science because it is an idea of using this thing that we call treatment, and if we do that scientifically, and you can repeat something, and use the different steps of which I handed out to you, and prove that it can be done, then it becomes scientific. So it's not a willy-nilly teaching. The other thing I want to bring up is, people have turned this into a religion. This class is not a religion. Religious science, you can make it a religion if you want to make it a religion. But it's a whole new concept and a way of thinking. Excuse me. It's lumped in with what we call new thought. But when we say new thought, the whole idea of new thought is not new. Because one of the master teachers, Jesus, used new thought all the time. New thought merely means the idea that God is within us, along with being outside of us. Many people get into religions to be able to find God, and they're looking for God outside.
You are looking with.
So if we stop looking outside of ourselves all the time and start looking inside of ourselves to find this power that we call God, you will start to find it. When we say this power called God, it's a cosmic force. It's an energy. We have done many experiments in here where we rubbed our hands together and we're able to feel the energy. That energy is around us all the time. It's this energy that you want to feel. You want to know that you're one with this energy. You also want to know that this is the only energy there is in the universe. If you want to use this teaching, you have to know that you are one with God. And when you know that you're one with God, and God is creative, therefore you can also be creative. But many people are looking outside of themselves all the time for power. People look outside of themselves for somebody to give them permission to do something. Don't do that to yourself. You have to give yourself permission. Many people are looking to be forgiven outside of themselves. No one can forgive you. You have to forgive yourself. You have to get that past up. So, if you'll turn to the other handout, I think this is very succinct, and I'm just going to do the part of which Ernest Holmes wrote in The Science of Mind. Since we are thinking beings and cannot stop thinking, and since creative mind receives our thought and cannot stop creating, it must also be creating something for us. What it will make depends wholly upon what we are thinking, and what we shall attract will depend upon what? Depend upon that on which our thoughts dwell. As God's thoughts makes worlds and peoples them with living things, so our thoughts make our world and people it with our experience. By the activity of our thought, things come into our life. and we are limited only because we have not known the truth. We have thought outside things. We have thought that outside things control us, when all the time we have had that within, which would have changed everything and given us freedom from bondage. This is the whole idea and the whole essence of this teaching. Your thoughts are creating your reality. Nothing else is doing it but your thoughts. Yes, you can say you create or you co-create with God. It doesn't matter. The thing to get to understand is you are doing it, and you are doing it to yourself. That is why we start always with the premise that we are whole and complete and perfect. We are wonderful human beings. We are one with this thing called God. We are one with this power. And that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So, the outside world is going to try to convince you that this is not so. If you want to stay in this teaching and be in this teaching, please learn that you are the one that's causing your life. And it does not matter anything about your birth. What matters is your life. What are you doing with your life? So many people are burdened down with where they were born and who they were born into and all that stuff. Means nothing, people. Means nothing. What means anything is what you are doing with your life right here and right now. Your parents could have been bums. Who cares? They were your parents. Let them be what they wanted to be. You have to remember that you picked those people. When you decide to incarnate on this planet, you said, oh, look, I think I'll come through those people. You had to come through them to learn something, and they learned something. But now you're here. That experience is over. Do you want it to go on the rest of your life? So this month we learned those things, and we learned to think bigger about ourselves, remember? To realize that you're the one who chose to come here. To realize that when we say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, it means God is the tree, and you are the apple. Doesn't mean your earthly parents. I'm not taking anything away from the earthly parents. You must always honor your mother and your father, regardless of what they were. You must honor them because that's the bloodline. And you honor that, but you do not have to become that. And you do not have to be convinced by the world that it's your genes that are doing it, that everyone in your family is this way. Let everyone in that family be that way. You don't have to be that way. You do not have to be that way. That is a choice. That is a choice. Science and religion are moving closer and closer to guess. They've already discovered that this thing called genes, that we can change our DNA, that we can change our genes. And the other thing that most people do not realize, that the nutrition card will trump the gene card every time. Nutrition will trump the gene card every time. What does that mean? That means you go to a doctor and he says, oh, you're prone to get diabetes, it runs in your family. Stop the damn sugar, people. Stop the damn sugar, you'll never get it. But what do you say? Oh, it runs in my family, I'll keep on eating sugar. And sure enough, it runs in your family, doesn't it? But you did it to yourself. Your genes do not do anything. You have to know that you have authority over your life, every aspect of your life. Tonight's song, Money is Freedom. You see, money is freedom. Knowledge is freedom. Once you realize that nothing holds you in bondage to what you're thinking, then you are free. Then you are free to do things. So with this teaching, use this teaching, not to find God, people. First of all, God's not lost. Why is everyone looking for God? God is everywhere around you. Just open to that idea. Just open to that idea. And then start working on yourself. You see, God doesn't need help.
You need help. We need help. God doesn't need any help. God already knows He's whole, complete, and perfect. He already knows it can do anything. We have to know that. We have to know that we can do anything. We have to know that this power works in us and through us. Now, when we have a situation that we can say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you do, and I know you're operating through me. But I know that the universe supports me in everything that I'm doing. And then you allow that to happen. But you listen to the world, you listen to other people. You have to go within. You have to learn that. A little card. It isn't necessary to know the underlying facts as long as the intended change is visualized clearly. The belief is strong, and the emotional force behind the intention is both focused and sustained. Pure, this isn't from Science of Mind, but in his pure earnest tones, he didn't write this either. This is the exact thing that we're always talking about. This is how a treatment works. This is how an affirmation works. This is how you take this power, this cosmic power, and make it into your life. I'll read it again. It isn't necessary to know the underlying facts, meaning you don't have to know how God operates. You don't have to know how this thing, the law of attraction, operates. You don't have to know that. You just have to know that it operates. No one knows that for sure. As long as the intended change is visualized clearly, what change do you want to make in your life? What change do you want to make in your own self, in your own personality? Visualize it clearly. Visualize it clearly. But have a clear thing going on. The belief is strong. You have to believe. Oh, this does work. Why am I coming to these classes? Why do we call it scientific? It has to work if you call it scientific. And the emotional force behind the intention. You have to get emotions going. When we say emotions, we mean feelings. Remember? Emmett Fox said, warmth of feeling. You have to have something going on inside of you. Some excitement, some enthusiasm going on inside of you. Just get a big plot a moment. Get excited about your life. Get excited. An emotional force behind the intention is both focused and sustained. Focus your intention on what you want. Many books out there, Diary has one called Intention. Everyone talks about an intention. What is your intention? But then the biggest thing here is, it must be sustained. You must keep doing it. The whole idea is to keep on keeping until what you want comes into your life. Why is that? I'm going to try to explain that. In the Bible, it said it took clothes and dwelled among us. Now, how do we do that? How do we make something take clothes? That means you have a thought that is formless. That thought is formless. But the more you concentrate on that, the more you think about that, the more you're putting clothes on it, the more solid it is becoming. Once it becomes solid enough, it drops down into this plane of action. We have different planes that we live on. A thought, in a thought plane, you don't see the thought. You don't see that. But if you concentrate enough on that, it becomes heavy enough to drop down onto this plane of action. You do that all the time and you don't know you do that. If you think about something long enough, you are putting enough clothes on that for it to become heavy enough to come down to this plane of action. Does that make sense? You have to keep focused and you have to keep sustained. People do treatment work and then they forget about it. They don't bother to think about it. They don't bother to keep it. Number one in their mind, number one in their focus. That's what this is about. That is what this teaching is about. So although we have made this into a religion, and you can make it into a religion, It's always, this teaching has always got to be God-oriented. Why is it always going to be God-oriented? Because God is the only thing there is. God is always going to be the source and the supply, you say. People get that mixed up. God is the source. And then they look around and think, oh, but money or somebody is the supply. God is source and supply. Why is God source and supply? Because you cannot have duality. You can only have unity or one. So when you look at that, you have to know. So, don't be always looking to find God. Find yourself. Why? Because you are God. So look at yourself and change yourself into anything you want to change into. Anything, and it doesn't matter how old you are, when you started, or anything. You have to know that you're able to change. Why are we able to change? Because we're malleable. We can change. Just we're not solid things. You have to know that. But the mind in the world wants to tell you that everything is solid. That once you're created, you must stay the way you are. That's not true. That's not true. People change all the time, and you must know that. The change that you must make is to the idea that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. The change must be that you learn to love yourself. And you learn to see yourself as the wonderful human being and the wonderful miracle that you are. This is how change comes about. And this is what we talked about all month. Not to allow the world to label you. The world loves to label. Society loves to label. And we all label. And we love to say, oh, but you don't understand, I have this addiction. Oh, but you don't understand, you know, I'm ADD, I'm ADC, I'm 7, whatever, all those letters. You're this, you're that, the other thing. You can have something, but it's not permanent. And you say, oh, I can get out of this. How do you get out of it? By knowing that this thing called God is there to help you. Every morning I say to myself, I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. And then I go about my day. And as I told you, I've had many addictions in my life, and I probably have many more that I haven't discovered yet. And every time I find one, I don't go, oh, I go, oh, I have an addiction. Well, I guess I'll work on that. If I don't like it, I just work on it. And I don't care myself when I work on these things, but I love myself even though I have the addiction. And lo and behold, this addiction starts to go away because I don't give it any power, nor do I run to every club in the world to join a bunch of people who have the same affliction. Once I had a friend, he was single. He says, I think I'll go to a singles club. There I'm certainly going to find somebody. Months passed, I said, did you find anybody yet? He said, no, but we've gone to all the way. I said, well, that certainly takes your mind off finding somebody, doesn't it? He said, what do you think the problem is? I said, well, if you want to hook up with somebody, you'd go to a couples club, not a singles club, you idiot. If you go to a singles club, those people are interested in being single. They're not interested in finding somebody. Try it. How many people have gone to a single club? You remain single. That's right there. That's the way that works. That's the way that works. Don't label yourself. Learn to love yourself. Learn to see all these things you call affliction. Call this, you call that, you see. What did the master teacher say? I think of this one all the time when I have a problem. Pick up your bed and walk. Pick up your bed and walk. Why do you want to lay down in that bed? Ugh. All that trouble's in there. Just pick that bed up and start walking. What does that mean? Years ago, they carry these mats with them. They just lay down on it. If you lay down on your mat, you're going to stay there. Pick up your bed and walk. Pick up whatever you have. Pick up the labels. Pick up the addictions. Pick up the keep walking. I know that you're going to change. And don't let the world say, oh, this is something that I have forever and a day, and I'll never get over it. And I'll never get over it. We do that with our money, don't we? We do that with the money situation we're in. Because our mind says, well, you've always been this way. Oh, here it goes, happened again to me. Stop doing that to yourself. Say, Jesus, I can move forward. I can move out of this. I said to myself, you know, I've tried that and I don't like it. Let's try something new. I don't say to myself, oh, here it comes again. The world likes to tell you that because the world loves issues, you see. It loves to say, oh, that's your issue, you see. It makes everything come back to you, come back to you. Don't do that. Learn to think bigger thoughts about yourself. Learn to say to yourself, I can do that. I can do that. And why can you do it? Because this power, this thing that we call God, is working in, at, and through you. You have a power to rely on. And you can do it. And you can do it. You can get through all this. But you have to move that. You have to move that. Come in. Have a seat.
Did you start earlier at 8?
We start at 7.
Your email says 8.
Oh, whose email was it? Was it mine? I don't do
email.
Pardon?
Are you Stephen?
No, I'm Dallas. What class are you coming for? Prosperity and abundance, including money?
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for bothering you. Go
right ahead. That's all right. So anyway, that's what we were talking about this month. And I hope you all put something in the works to do for yourself, to change yourself, to become bigger, better. What was the one main thing to move out of in the month that we live in all the time and we forget to move out of? And the world teaches it up one side and down the other. It's fear, people. It's fear. Absolute fear. I have a friend, Carolyn, a lady that I met in Sedona. She sent me an email today and it said, you must watch this little video. Things I never watch this. It's all about, she's absolutely afraid how quickly somebody can get into your house. For $2, you can buy a key that will open any door. You should watch this video, Dallas. I'm scared to death. Now, why would I want to watch a video that's going to scare me to death? And why would I want to put that in my mind that people are going to break in? I very rarely lock my door. I let it open. I am not going to draw fear into my life. Into my life. Even though I hear that there's a robbery every 15 seconds in the United States. You know, and I've told you that story. Every 33 seconds, a car is stolen. And I can stand on my street all day long and I'll be damned if I can find a stolen car. No one is out there stealing cars. Where can they get this? But they want to tell you that people are out to get you all the time. All the time. Today the bank sent me a thing. Sent me two. Would I like to sign up for identity theft? One of the biggest problems in the United States is identity theft. I thought, let somebody steal my identity. I don't care. But what am I going to do about it? I'm not going to sit in fear constantly that somebody is going to take something from me. Now, why am I not going to do that, people? Because I am in this teaching. And what does this teaching tell you? What is yours by right of consciousness, no one can take from you. If you honestly own something in your consciousness, no one can take it from you. And if somebody does take it from you, it must come back to you, or its equivalent. And I told you, when I was in Georgia, they stole a very expensive statue of mine, bronze. The police said, gone. I said, no way is it gone, it's mine. Oh no,
camp. Took me a year. I was in the real estate business, but another real estate person who sold apartment buildings said to me, "Dallas, I was through apartments today," and she said, "I saw that sculpture and it's got to be yours. I've never seen anyone like it." Before I called the police, they went and knocked on the door. First they said to me, "Can you identify?" I said, "Yes, my social security number is on the back of it." But knocked on the door, looked, there was my social security card, knocked on my door. "Thank you very much." He said, "Here's your statue." I said, "What about my watch?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I want the watch too." He said, "Can you identify?" I said, "Yeah, it has my name on the back of it. It's my father's watch. That's why I wanted it back." The person who stole it apparently had a roommate, and they found the roommate walking on the street. They stopped the roommate on the street, and the roommate was wearing my father's watch, and they took it and called me and said, "If you come down to the precinct, we have your watch for you." I went down and said, "Thank you very much." I got them back. The police said, "You'll never get it back. It's in a pawn shop. They don't even look for that kind of stuff." I immediately sat down and did a treatment. What's mine by right of conscience? It must be returned to me, or it's a fun one. I got that back. A friend of mine came home and his whole condo gone, every stick of furniture. He had the condo up for sale, and a truck pulled up and the neighbors thought he was moving since it was up for sale, and they took everything in a truck. He called me, he said, "That was everything's gone. What am I going to do?" I said, "Don't panic. What's yours by right of consciousness must be returned to you." He said, "Oh." I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Let me do some treatment work." 3 days later, they found everything in a warehouse. Everything in a warehouse. What is yours by right of consciousness is always yours and must be. So remember that. Don't fall for this fear stuff. The world wants to teach you fear. This teaching is not about fear. It is about learning what's inside of you. Learning how to think correctly, learning how to know the truth. And what is the truth? We're always saying, what is the truth? The truth is that you're one with God. All you are is God, but you are not all that God is. The truth is that you can create your own reality. And you do that with your thoughts. Remember, Henry David Thoreau said, man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So what are you thinking about? And are you feeling? How are you feeling? Remember, months ago, I said, if I feel successful, and then you start to feel successful, you start to be successful. How would it feel to be successful? Then start feeling that. Next month, in May, the whole month is going to be titled, What If? What If? So, this month is about change and how to change. And you can do that, but you have to know that you're one with this power and that you can use this power. And it's all right to say that God is mighty, but you must know that God is useful. And you must start using God. That is how it works. So if you want to make a religion out of this, go right ahead. But it is a practical teaching so that you can lead the life that you want to lead and so that you can have the things that you want to have on this plane of action. And give up the idea of fear. Give up the idea of suffering. You see, the world teaches that you're here to suffer. What kind of a creator would create you to suffer? And if a creator did do that, why would you call it God and want anything to do with it? Does it make sense? Remember, God does not sit in judgment upon itself through you. You see, why is that? Because you're one with God. God won't punish you. God would be punishing itself. God doesn't want you to suffer. If you suffer, God suffers. There's only one. Only one. You see?
All right. Now open for questions. No questions? Go ahead.
I'll start with the one first. We always talk about not judging, correct?
Yes.
All right. So in this, in the race mind, okay, when somebody is trialed, that they go to trial and they're found guilty of a crime, let's say a murder, okay, they're sentenced, okay? And how is that different?
Well, because the thing that you always get wrong.
Yeah, I do.
Is you always want to bring things down to this earthly plane. And you forget there's such a thing called divine reasoning and divine wisdom. And if God is not judging that person, this is the society that we live in, this is the culture we live in, and we made up those rules. God had nothing to do with those rules whatsoever, you see. The world loves to punish. Does anyone want law and order? That poor man that's Watterson? Well, he's the most vindictive person, and he wants to punish. But most people out there want to punish. You have to be, so you did something, you have to be punished. No, not in the eyes of God. Now, the other thing is, why don't we do judgment? Because if you judge, you're only judging yourself. If there's only one, you have to be judging yourself, and you have to be judging God. There's nobody else out there to judge. It's the idea when you point your finger to somebody, three are pointing back at you. You can't do it, you see. God doesn't know the difference, but here is the little thing that people forget. Your mind doesn't know the difference. If I call you a rotten SOB, my mind does not know that I called you that. My mind says, that's right, Dallas, you're an SOB. It's outside of your mind, people. It's all done in your mind. You're living in your mind. You're living in your thoughts. It doesn't go outside. You can't hurt somebody because, oh, that hurt me. Oh, bullshit. Didn't hurt you at all. It's your thoughts that hurt you. It's only your thoughts that hurt you. Your thoughts never go outside of your own mind. But if I say that, then say that to Andy, and he decides to think that. Now he's hurting himself. I didn't hurt him. It's done with thinking. It's done with thoughts. It's always going to be thoughts, people. What are you thinking about? Always what are you thinking about? Now, in your case, and perhaps other people's cases, stop looking at the world all the time. Raise yourself up. You know, there's different levels, which brings me to this. There's different domains that we live in. And if we move out in those domains, the first domain is your higher self, or the high spirit, which is God, the God that's in you. The next one is your soul or your spirit. Then out from that one is your mind. Are you living in your mind? We say that, but most people are not living in the domain of mind. Where are most people living? In the domain of emotions. You hurt me. All day long you're living in the domain of emotions. Now, if you're living in the domain of emotions and you're doing your work in the domain of emotions, all you're going to get is that. So you have to come back to here, to the center, and do your treatment work for that. And realize these emotions are just emotions. They're coming and they're going. And you have to learn to respond to things, not to automatically react. But we automatically react because we're living in this emotional domain all the time. And we think it's so important. Now, with that, I want to also say, the life of the organism is feelings. But feelings and emotions are two different things. How am I feeling about it? Now you're going to generate the feeling that you want. Remember, the whole idea of this teaching is to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. So if you're feeling a feeling that you don't want, change it. Change it.
But these emotions are out there, and we see everyone having them, and we start to live in all these emotions, and we think this is what life is, all these emotions going on. And then we're always hurt, we're always sad. My parents didn't live, they, oh, that person said something mean and hateful to me. When you go back to your core, your center, this higher spirit that's within you, this connection to God that is within you, and then what do you remember? What do you remember? The dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty. You go back to that pureness that's within you, and then you let that come out, and that light come out, and that energy come out from there. But if you're out here in this domain of emotions, and you're living out here, that's all you're going to get. And the mind loves to play that little trick on you. Yes, it's all right for you to be sad because they were mean to you. Oh, you didn't get that. Okay, you can be sad. You want that type of life? You want that type of life? Those things mean nothing, people. Don't make them think. Don't let your mind tell you that that's what that means. Don't live in the emotional domain. Go back. When you see yourself doing that, say, geez, I can correct that. I am not my emotions. We all know that we're not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. But then we get hung up on, oh, these emotions belong to me. This is who I am, all these emotions. Well, they're ugly and mean and hateful. You know, who wants to see that? No one. No one wants to see that. You have to know how to do that with yourself. You have to know you're not your thoughts. Thoughts are just thoughts coming and going. And you're going to have throughout eternity, people, because that's what mind does, it thinks. But you have to learn, what thought do I want to think? What thought do I want to think? How many people hear, what's the first thought that goes on in the morning when you wake up? What is your first thought in the morning?
This is beautiful. It's going to be a great day.
Okay. Yes. Was it always that? You change that, now why can't you change everything else? See, my mind used to take it up, you rotten, lazy lounge lizard, you're never going to make a thing out of yourself. So why can't put up with this the rest of my life? I changed that, but I didn't. Now my mind says, good morning, Dallas, you're going to have a wonderful day. And then I go about having a wonderful day and creating a wonderful day for myself. Remember the old thing, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be happy in it. Now, in physics, we always take the word Lord and we change it to law. This is the day that the law of my mind is making. I shall rejoice and be happy in it. Then, at the end of the day, I can't say, oh, look at the beautiful day. I take responsibility. Look at the wonderful day I made. Some days I said, look, I didn't do so well today. But what do? I forgive myself and say, that day's done. I'm not getting up tomorrow and drag that day with me. I'm getting up with a clean slate in the morning, and I'm going to try again. And I'm going to keep trying till I get this right. And I keep trying, and I get it right. You have to keep on trucking while you're doing this. You have to learn to love yourself, appreciate yourself, and know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You just have to keep doing that till you absolutely know it. Till you absolutely know it. So stop letting your mind always bring you down to this earthly plane. The way the world works, the world works. You're not going to change it. You know, that's like in government. The new government says change. Isn't that, who is that? Obama. Change. Change is coming. I doubt it. Why? Because that's a bureaucracy.
And you think you can change your bureaucracy? It has a life of interest. And it'll just keep on trucking. It's a great idea, but it's not going to work. So for you to go down and think you're going to do something, don't do that. Let that work. But see the world the way you want it to be. And see those things. And be concerned more with yourself than all these other people all the time. That'll take care of them. Another question? Did that help you?
Oh, yeah. It was just a question.
Well, I was just going to comment on what you were saying also. Deepak Chopra said it beautifully about choice. You can choose to accept an insult as an insult, or you can totally dismiss it and not accept it at all.
Right.
It's up to you how you interpret it.
Yes. And turn it into something.
And turn it into something.
Yes,
I wanted to ask a question, something that I'm still struggling with. And it's about, it's all good. I have a problem that, I'm still trying to understand this. Like the kid that was shot by gangbangers, and a good kid, and, you know, he had his future ahead of him and all of that. How could that be all good?
I can reflect on that. I may not know the exact answer to that. You see, I am able to, when I'm not, don't know anything correctly, I can just put it on the shelf till I'm able to understand that. But I never throw out the baby with the bathwater. But there are different ways to look at that, and we'll go back to the idea. As you see, you don't know what divine wisdom is. You do not know the divine reasoning behind any of that. Now, this young man could have come into this plane of action with a contract. And his contract was that, to learn something. We don't know that. But we look at it because he lived in this world, and we look at it with these finite minds that we have, and we say, well, that's wrong. But you have to realize, if always God, then always good. And if always good, then there's only good. I know. You want a concrete answer to it. That's one of the things that you have to take into faith. We may never be able to explain that. No, I could come up with a lot of wonderful answers, but there are none. There are none for that. I don't know that. See, people usually want to know about Hitler. I don't know anything about Hitler, thank God.
So on this thought process then, going on, some things we just don't know.
Yes.
We just have to say, if I really believe all is good, even if I don't understand it, maybe today, maybe tomorrow I'll understand it.
Yes.
But it's
a... I doubt it.
Is this the Stevens group?
No.
What is this?
Prosperity and abundance, including money.
Oh, I was wondering the community room.
This is the community room. What time does that start?
Oh, 8 o'clock.
Yes, it's
8. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're 10 minutes early.
So, all is good.
All is good.
I'm the intruder. Can I say something? Because I've studied laws of traffic for 15 years. This stuff is phenomenal. How do you think about your own choice in life? If you're going to get hung up on, oh, they're bad, this is good, the world's not good, the government's not good, we're all going, you know, all going down, that's going to get you completely satisfied, in my opinion. Just focus on you and what you choose in life and where you're going. And as you change and you grow and you adjust, everything else around you will also shift. You know? But the biggest problem I think everybody's making is you're watching the TV news, which is something I've purged from myself a long time ago. And reading newspaper. As long as you do that, you're fighting one end of yourself against the other, in my opinion. Once you get the TV news out of your life, because you don't need the kind of newspaper, because you can stop me anytime you want, then you're going to have a better handle on dealing with yourself and becoming more of who you can become. That's huge. You shouldn't be watching TV news hearing about a kid killing somebody. It's up here for you. Your energy levels and everything else. It's not helping you.
That's not my struggle.
Right.
My struggle is trying
to understand the whole concept.
But what he hit on helped me out a long time ago, because I had that stream too, but it's perhaps that was the choice, the contract, as you said, for that spirit to come into this world, whatever that spirit needed to learn, and for that short a time, and then he was out of here.
I can understand.
That kind of helped me, because doesn't make sense to me when I look at it that way.
A lot of things.
You have to look at it.
Look at it differently. But remember, I always say stay at home, which is what this man is saying. Stay within your own self. How are you thinking about yourself? Are you staying good? Are you doing all that? But if you look out there, that's a little trick that your ego mind wants to do to you. It wants to distract you by saying, oh, let's go outside of ourselves instead of staying here and focusing on your own self. Always wants to keep you distracted. And the way to keep you distracted is to say, you can't figure this out, you see. So now you just keep churning and turning, trying to figure that out. Don't let your mind do that. Only Western minds do that, by the way. An Eastern mind can live in the mystery. An Eastern mind does not have to know. Only Western minds have to know.
But I
want to
know.
Because you're a Western mind. I know that.
Okay.
And so, keep asking. And keep
looking. I have a right to know.
All right. But keep asking. And it will feel comfortable. But in the meantime, you know, you learn to be good, and it will flow down to you. Is that how you care?
Yeah, you reinforce. I don't know which name is in class. Well, that is law of attraction right there. You didn't mean to come to this class. It fits in. But, I can go with that, but where I really hurt myself is I say, well, I don't know, I trust there is more, and it's good, but then I always say, you know, the sooner we get this over with, the better. It's so painful to live in this world. That guy is lucky. He did his contract. He's done. I still have to go through the fire. That's not your point, and I know that, but...
Well, you're always into suffering and punishment. You must stop that. We told you, get off the cross. You know, get off the cross. You don't belong there.
Well, I know, and that's why I openly say it, because I do want to get off the cross. I can't be here anymore.
Right.
On the cross.
Not right. No.
And when you say, she said, sometimes you just have to accept and believe blindly. That reminds me of traditional Christianity.
Yes. But it's not traditional Christianity, and we never ask you to do that, because this teaching teaches you how to think, not
exactly
what to think. And it does not insult your intellect. I could sit here and I could come up with a wonderful idea and I could convince you. But there'd be no sense of that. If you want that, then you go to a brand name church and they can convince you of that stuff. I am telling you at the present moment, I do not know the answer to that. I can come up with many little scenarios of why, like a contract, this, that, everything. Is that true or false? I don't know. You say, I don't know. But I'm able to live with that because I'm more interested in myself and making myself better, making myself good. And letting that go out from me as an example so that other people can do it. One day I may know that, but I just put things on the shelf. Many things I put on the shelf, I've been able to put it back down. When it came, oh, there it is, now I understand it. But I never waste my energy trying to figure out something at the present moment that I can't. You see? Because I spend my energy doing other things so that that answer will come.
In an odd way, this is like the physicist that died a few weeks ago that had the light description. I'm over my head on physics, but it was something. He was the one that said a butterfly moving its wings in the the impact happens, you know, like worldwide.
Right.
And in a way, we don't know what the ramification is of someone leaving this plane.
Right.
And how, and what you're saying is, if I could just trust and just be light about it, and just think, because recently someone I cared about said something that hurt me,
right.
And I've been like crying today. It's like, but that's what you're saying is my choice. I could, how could that be good? It's one thing if you don't like the person and so they hurt me. I'm going to remember what Dallas said, but if it's someone meaningful, but if I thought it's all good, and there's only goodness coming to me, maybe something way in the future comes from that, and if I could just really believe it all works out.
Yes.
And that's so simple, but it's so hard.
It is simple. But the simplest thing is this. What does this teaching teach you? It's choice.
Choice.
So you can choose to be hurt by that, or you can choose not to be. Or you can say, that really hurt me, but I'm only going to be hurt for 3 or 4 seconds, and then I'm changing my mind. But I am not going to keep it going for the next 3 hours, 30 years, and I'm not going to tell everybody about it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to change my mind. I have to do that all the time. But I know I have choice. And then it comes back again and I choose out of it again. It's all on learning to control your thinking. And forgive that person. Love that person. Bless that person. And release that person. And then love and bless and release this emotion that you're having. And say, I'm not living in that emotion any longer. But the world teaches and you become a habit of doing that, and your mind loves to do that to you, and your mind loves to tell you, oh, I am such a sensitive person, and I'm so proud that I'm sensitive because I'm an artiste, and I'm this, and I'm that, and oh, my emotions mean so much to me, and I can get damaged so quickly, and oh, it's just wonderful, this is who I am. You just labeled yourself. Instead of saying, I'm all those things, but I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm choosing out of this. I'm not going to be poor, pitiful pearl. You say, enough is enough. I've done this all my life. And your mind came up with every reason why you have to feel those thoughts. And probably drug up a lot of stuff from the past. You say, let the past go, people. Won't do you a bit of good. But you can dig it up if you want. But let the dead bury the dead. Keep them dead. My God, you've got a horror show going on, digging up all this stuff.
Well, does that partly mean you get rid of that person? Or does it even mean that?
Carol, it's very hard for you to get. Remember, you were the one who went to the coffee shop where they all talked bad to you, but you went there every day anyway and let them talk bad to you. You don't remember that, do you? So why would you? Yes. Why would you go to somebody who talked bad to you? And if that person needs out of your life, it's time for that person to leave your life. That's all there is to that. We have to have enough courage to let people go. People come into your life to go out of your life. You can't keep people all your life. It's a grand idea. When I say you can't keep people all your life, I mean you can't keep people around you that keep hurting you and so forth. If you're not around people that are uplifting, then what's the sense of it? The whole idea is to be in a loving, caring, sharing relationship. Loving, caring, sharing relationship where you are free to be who you are and you allow the other person to be free to be who they are and you both encourage the other to become the very best person. This is what we're all about. This is what friendship's about. This is what love relationships are about. This is what the world should be about. But don't be around those people. Only be around people that want to hold you in the highest of respect and esteem. And it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.